Hey everyone, welcome to episode 51 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, you feeling good?
Yeah, it's
We've
okay.
been busy. We've been on the mics a lot lately, and we're here with another guest. You excited to get it going?
Absolutely, man.
So we have a pretty big event coming up next weekend. Looks a bit different this year, but it's definitely our guest's probably one of his favorite days of the year, especially this year, as his favorite phenom quarterback is playing in this game. I'd like to welcome on the podcast my good friend Ben Rudolph. How's it going, Ben?
Good. First time guest, but long time listener. So I'm pumped to be on and get the invite and yeah, to talk about my boy Brady.
Well, let's get right into it. But first, let's talk about what we're drinking today. So, what I guess we reached out to Ben. We were like, "What do you want to drink on the podcast?" That's the whole theme. And what did you tell us?
Well, I've recently moved to Hamilton, and I'm a big supporter of local breweries right now. And in Hamilton, we have Collective Arts. So I kind of got into them like this past summer when they were doing like door delivery for Hamilton GTA area. So that was my reco. I'm a huge fan of them. Obviously, the IPA game, I'm getting more into it. And this past summer, I tried one of theirs. This is like what got me into them. It was a vanilla pineapple IPA, which I'm like, what, like that shouldn't work, but it did. It did.
Like a pina
And I'm
colada
also.
almost.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like too like overwhelming, but it was definitely like you got the hints of it. And yeah, I just love what they do for like the like kind of like local artists. So like all their cans are really unique and that not like no one is the same. So like I think it's every quarter or so they put out a call for like submissions. And then yeah, local artists just like submit their work. They get like some type of payment, but then obviously like the publicity of being on the can. So like all their cans are pretty unique. I know. I think you look like you got like jam up the mash there. So yeah, all of them are fun and unique. No one's the same.
I like the cans. They're really unique. I mean, obviously you got like the basic strip with their logo and the
Yeah,
name,
yeah.
but pretty nice. You don't see a lot of cans that have such like a, it's almost like a poster, an art poster. So it's
Yeah. It's
quite
like all
nice.
really detailed artistry on it.
All right, Jack, I know you've got a couple. Which one are you going to crack into first?
I'm starting Stranger Than Fiction. Great Will Ferrell movie. Must translate to the beverages.
Does yours have the nice little animals, the bunnies, the
Wouldn't say nice little. I would say
they look
fever
promiscuous
dream-esque.
almost, yeah.
Very promiscuous.
All right,
But
let's
I think
crack
it's
it
cool.
open. I know Ben, unfortunately you did pick these beers and you had a bit of a mishap at the LCBO, so you'll just be sipping on a couple other beers, but nonetheless, you can enjoy them with us.
Yeah.
You like that, Jay?
That's a good porter. Just learned that.
Got a bit of a, yeah, it's nice. It's kind of got that barky feel to it, which is nice for the first beer of the night. You've had this one before, Ben, I assume.
Yeah, I've had that one. I've had a couple of like the IPAs, but I think my favorite one is the jam up the mash. Like I got super into sours, which like I don't know. I shared one with my girlfriend one time. She's like, it tastes like liquid Sour Patch Kids. I'm like, okay, like kind of,
You get a
but
review?
A little.
I think it's my favorite sour.
We've got that one coming up next, so we'll save that. Maybe we'll save that for the end for dessert, actually, because I don't know if you have this one, Jack, but I've got an 8.2 percenter, so I might put that in the meat of the sandwich and then finish with the sweet one. So we did allude to it at the beginning. Ben, you're a big football fan, so as I said, it's perfect to have you on. The week before the Super Bowl, how happy were you when Tom won? I guess it was probably about 10 or so days, a little less. Were you thrilled? Were you jumping around, or is it not the same now that he's not on your favorite team, the Patriots?
I mean, it's still nice to like see him doing well. It's like the ex, right? Like you want to see him do well. It's a little bitter to see, but I don't know. At the end of the day, it's still like, yeah, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. Like they were nowhere close. Like obviously, I'm gonna be rooting for like the boy that like brought us 20 years of like unparalleled success. Like no one's ever gonna do that again. But I mean, like going into the playoffs, like the Bucks. What they were like 7-5 at one point. I think
I
they
think they were
finished 11 and
fifth seed.
five.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fifth seed. Like I didn't have like high high hopes for them. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, we can be like football team. Like, they're not great. But then, like, having to go on the road, Saints, Breeze, and then Packers, Rodgers. Like, I didn't have my, like, expectations for Super Bowl. I'm like, man, if we can win one playoff game, that'd be pretty nice. But, yeah.
I mean, Brady's won the same amount of he's been in the same amount of championships in that league as those other two quarterbacks you mentioned. So,
yeah, it's wild. No, my buddy's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I sent him some stat like, oh yeah, past 20 years, Brady has more playoff victories in the NFC than the Cowboys do. Which is, and I also saw a crazy stat, like, you can break up Brady's career basically, like, first 10 years, last 10 years, and like, arguably, like, I'm not arguably, like, yeah, it's like two Hall of Fame careers, like, alone, like, three Super Bowls in the first 10 years, three Super Bowls in the last. I even saw someone go as far to, like, break it into three, like, stints. So the first stint was, like, three Super Bowls, however many Pro Bowls or whatever. The second stint, like, no Super Bowls in there. I think they lost those two to Eli, which, like, pains me to this day. But they had a perfect season in there. Couple MVPs, and then the final, like, leg is three Super Bowls and four trips, a fifth trip coming up. It's like, it's just wild.
Ben's like, oh, someone sorted it out. Fucking meanwhile, it's probably him who sorted it out in his own head.
He's got Excel, like, spreadsheets open.
Yeah, I got the Excel spreadsheet. Like, oh, okay, we got that right. It was two.
I think it's 18% of Super Bowls he's been in too. Am I crazy in saying that? I saw that online.
Pretty sure. Like a week ago, it's I think. Wild. I believe it.
Yeah. I said it last weekend. I said it's like 18-28. I'll say it again. I'm more confident on 18 now. I think I saw it again. So,
and there's, I love all the stats too. People come out being like, oh, like, Tom Brady is more likely to make it to a championship game than LeBron James is to make a free throw. I'm like, okay, like, we're not exactly parallels at this point, but.
Oh, well, he's not alone in that game. Personally, my favorite quarterback is also there. I've been cheering for him just as long, if not longer, than you, even though he wasn't in the NFL. Probably wasn't even born during some of these times.
You're in high school jersey.
Yeah, scaling him from age 5.
Yeah, exactly, and I've deemed this, I mean, in our 2021 predictions podcast, I know you're a loyal listener, maybe if you listen to it, maybe you're going to get to it soon, but I said this is the official passing of the torch from Brady to Mahomes. Of the two goats of this, of the different decades. And I mean, I guess two decades for Brady, but regardless, it's the passing of the torch. And I predicted it. I was a bit worried after I saw Mahomes had his concussion, his turf toe, whatever, like opposite sides of the body, but whatever he met in the middle on with his injury, but obviously he overcame it, and we're going to see him overcome Brady, I think, come Sunday. Any thoughts on that matchup? Do you think this is kind of a shift in power in the NFL, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I feel like you almost even saw it, like, AFC versus NFC there, right? Like, in the AFC championship game, you had, like, Josh Allen going up against Mahomes. Both of them, like, what, like, 24, 25, and then you kind of had the old farts and Rodgers and Brady. But, yeah, no, like, Mahomes, even, like, Mahomes' stats, like, first 3 years, like, yeah, it's better than Brady to start. Like, I think if he wins, like, over the Super Bowl Brady, like, I don't want to get into like, oh, could he pass Brady as a GOAT eventually, but like, always, I feel like it's more if Brady beats him head to head in the Super Bowl, then like, yeah, you can't have that conversation. It's almost like,
because he might have
LeBron was ever able,
yeah, he might not have had a chance to, right? Like, there,
yeah,
there,
yeah, exactly.
If he'll write the story and it's like the last chapter, because say even if he doesn't get to the finals, he won't have a chance to play him again, so he's kind of writing his own story.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think right now, like, good point. Like, I think it's 2-2 right now in the series. Like, Brady started 2-0 against him, and I think I feel like the one that really pisses Mahomes off is the AFC Championship game a couple years ago when it was Patriots-Chiefs at Chiefs. Chiefs had number one seed, and the Patriots won the coin toss in overtime. It scored a touchdown, and Mahomes never got a chance to touch ball. But after that game, I remember Brady went to the Chiefs like locker room to like congratulate Mahomes and be like, hey, like, keep your head up, like, you're gonna be back here. And then, like, fuck, the next year he won the Super Bowl. So
I honest to God don't think I was a football fan during that season, because I literally don't remember it. So that's
that was like Mahomes' like big breakout season. I think that was like he won MVP that year. Yeah. It was his first like full season as a starter, and yeah, he was just doing like shit that like no one throws like no look passes like when it's like third and 10 game on the line. Yeah, like no one does that. He's just like making like ridiculous plays. So I feel I worry though for Mahomes that like he's got a great team right now. I worry though that he could be in like the Aaron Rodgers boat of being like, people like say, yeah, like Aaron Rodgers is probably like the best quarterback ever in terms of like arm talent, like athletic ability, like better than Brady. Like you've seen Brady run a 40-yard dash, like doesn't look impressive. I feel like, yeah, like I just hope Mahomes doesn't like it. Obviously, I hope he doesn't win this year, but you know, going forward, like I feel like he needs to like get a couple more soon while like they still have this like team and core intact in Kansas City. Because I mean, like every time, like everyone gets hit by like the salary cap and free agency and stuff, like you can only keep the band together of like Kelce and Hill for so long that I feel like, yeah, it's like win now. Because you never know. I mean, not that they couldn't go on a 20-year tear like Belichick and Brady did, but
I mean, I have a friend who's a pretty loyal Bills fan, the most loyal Bills fan I know that will go unnamed, but that's exactly what he was saying to me a couple days before we dusted up his team last weekend. But he was saying they better win this year because with all the money they put into their offense, they're not gonna have a enough team to sustain that going forward, which I guess is a fair point. But I mean, if you have two champion, if he wins this year, he has two championships and less than 5 years, it's like
he's
was
great.
The money not worth it? So yeah. I think let's get everyone engaged here. You're hogging the mic here as the expert, but we need to get Jack and I going on some prop bets, because although we may not be football experts, we all love to do the prop bets. So let's lock it in right now. Let's run through a couple fun prop bets, and then maybe we'll post them to see who's got the best lineup and see if the listeners who they think is going to win. So let's go with a pretty basic one. Let's just go, who do you think is going to win? Want to do spread or no spread? I say straight up.
What is the spread right now?
I don't know what that means.
Three?
I think it's three. Was it? It started 3.5, right? But I think it went down to 3.
I think it went down. Yeah.
Let's go no spread though. Like 3 is just like, I mean, I don't want to say that now. Yeah. Now they'll lose by 1, but like I want to say the spread doesn't matter. I would have to crop that because it's definitely going to be like a 2-point game now. But I mean, Ben, you're not going to bet against Brady, right?
I mean, he's the only man in sports you can't bet against, no matter. I told our buddy Gray this. He's been like betting against Brady the entire postseason. I'm like, he's costing you a lot of money right now. There's one man you don't bet against: Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
Jeez, Tom, that's quite the what's the abbreviation for that? TTEB. That's a mouthful. Jack, who are you picking?
That's not clean.
I think I'm sold now. I'm going the Buccaneers. I'm now sold on Thomas Jefferson Edwards Brady, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
All right, so 2-0. I mean, I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think that's pretty obvious. I got the shirt on right now. Ben doesn't have his Buccaneers jersey on, so obviously not dedicated. But regardless, we'll carry on. There's not just the winner of the Super Bowl, but there's also the winner of the MVP. Ben, I'll list some names out here for everyone listening just to help out the three of us here in case you don't know who's in the game. We've got Mahomes, Brady, Kelce, Hill, Evans, Godwin, and then the seventh betting favorite on this website that you sent over is any defensive player. So I think we're going to nix that one. You probably have to pick like Matthew or somebody, but who are you for the MVP? I mean, it's kind of here. Like we're just doing
it. I know. But it's like, I feel like quarterbacks just like by default get it, which is like kind of annoying.
Seven of the last 10 were quarterbacks. I checked that because I wanted to see what the odds were looking like, but
I can think of maybe Edelman won. I feel like, yeah, it's either quarterback or wide receiver. I'm sure maybe one defensive player has won.
Von Miller won, didn't he?
Yeah, because he sacked Cam Newton a bunch. But to be honest, I think the Bucs are going to win, and I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as everyone thinks because I feel like the X factor is going to be that Kansas City, both of their tackles are out. Like Eric Fisher, first rounder, I think he tore his Achilles last week. And then their right tackle, I think his name's Schwartz. He's been hurt for the past couple weeks. And I mean, just watching the Packers game, like the Bucs got after Rodgers. I think they sacked him five times.
Yeah.
So I want to go with like the off the board seven. I think it's going to be defensive player. And I think I have to pick one. I'm going to go with Devin White. Kind of a no name, not a big household name, but he's the linebacker for the Bucs. He picked off Breeze. I think he forced a fumble, or at least he got a fumble recovered in that Saints game. And he's been flying. So I'm going to go defensive player with Devin White.
Like that pick. Does the name Malcolm Smith ring a bell for you? Because he was another.
Yeah, is that the guy who had the Seahawks, right? I think.
Did he take that pass from Brady, or is that a different guy?
I think he won when they were playing Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Okay. They like beat them. They beat them down. I think it was like 43-8. It was an embarrassing Super Bowl.
Who's the Seahawk who intercepted that catch? That I was trying to piss you off there, but obviously I didn't hit the nail. Was it a Seahawk?
It was us. We picked off the Seahawks. Malcolm Butler.
Oh, that's what it was.
On the goal line.
He just had a recent catch too that made you nut in your pants, didn't it?
Yeah.
Does it remind you of that big
Lamar? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Jack, you have a pick in your quiver?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a sleeper pick of Tom Brady.
All right.
I feel like we're not talking about him enough.
Off the board.
And he's a quarterback, so he'll be hitting that ball. He'll be throwing it.
This is tough here because Patrick Mahomes won last year, but I feel like, I mean, Ben, you were in the room too. We all thought that the running back was going to win. We didn't think Mahomes really deserved it last year, and he still won it. So that tells me, fuck, I should probably pick Mahomes because he has a better chance of winning it than he did last year, but he won't. But I'm going to go with Kelsey. He had like almost 10 receptions in the first half yesterday. He didn't get as many in the second, but still, like, that was fucked. And I just don't want to pick Mahomes, even though he's probably going to win it. And I think Kelsey is a pretty good choice. I mean, obviously Hill's on there too. But I'm just going to go with Kelsey. I think he's just such a reliable piece. And with those speedy wide receivers, it's like, if you double Tyreek, like having a guy like Kelsey in the middle to save your day, is it just happens so often. It's like, how is this guy so open when he's so dominant? But that's who I'm going to lock in.
If he hadn't have sat out the final week, like he probably could have led the league in receiving yards as a tight end, which is just like bonkers. Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah. As a casual like football fan, has anybody, like, has did Gronk ever do anything close to that, or any recent tight ends?
Not that I could think of. Like Gronk put up touchdowns for sure. I think he has the tight end record, but yardage is just like insane because they're blocking like half the time for runs, or even just like a play action pass block. But
very true. All right. For our listeners, we're not quite done the football talk, but let's get into some more of the fun for the casual football watcher, some of those prop bets, because I know everyone listening might not be a massive football fan. It might help them out the week before the Super Bowl. They get some kind of an inside scoop. So the people who don't watch football know what's going to be happening on the field. But that being said, let's get into our next question. What color Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach's head? We've got the odds on favorite here is orange Gatorade. Up there, we also have red, and we have clear water on there.
I love how there's odds. Like, what?
Yeah, I know.
I went back in time.
Like, do they look at sales of the – is it, like, based on history, or is it based on sales of Gatorade? Or
has it always been orange?
Interesting. So we also have clear water. We have lime, green, or yellow, which are all the same flavor, but I guess people look at it a different way. We have purple and blue. Blue plus 1500. Blue's a pretty standard color, and maybe it stains easier, but I thought that one would be way ahead of purple. Purple is not a common Gatorade, but anyways,
I didn't even know purple was a Gatorade color.
I thought purple was a G2. I know they do have a purple Gatorade because it used to be my favorite, but I think I've only seen purple G2 recently.
That's wild. I don't know, man. I'm like trying to go, okay, I'm like telling the analytics guy now, like trying to be like, okay, what, like, I feel like it's red.
Yeah, no, my choice is red too, with both teams being red. Terrible staining color, but
yeah. But it's not gonna affect the sideline apparel if both teams are red. So I feel like they'll do that, you know, it'll be nice to coach Arians when the Bucks win.
Jack, what color are you thinking? You going off the board? Or are you agreeing with us on red?
I'm gonna pick the underdog. I think blue.
Blue, I respect it. Great flavor as well. It'll taste good.
That's personally my favorite.
Bring down Andy Reid's. He'll have some blue Gatorade and then a double cheeseburger after. I think that's a great combo, Jack.
These are wild prop bets.
Yeah, I know. Some of them I just don't even want to get into because this one's just a personal one for Ben. What do you think will be mentioned first? That's Tom's 10th Super Bowl or Tom Brady's age on the broadcast? As soon as it starts, which one will be mentioned first?
I feel like age. I feel like everyone's hung up on 43 and having a noodle arm. But that one's tough. That one's tough. I feel like it's going to happen in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. But how do you – yeah. I disagree with you because I think how you frame it – wait, what did you said age? I feel like you frame it like Tom Brady is in his 10th Super Bowl at the age of 43, right? Is that what it is, 43?
Oh, I mean, you guys are the radio folk, so – you're the professionals at this.
Yeah. You don't know his name. You probably have the date. Who are you talking about? The time stamp too?
I think it's August 8th or something. It's sometime in August.
Oh, something around there.
Casually gets it wrong so he doesn't seem obsessed. Yeah.
He already knew his middle name, man. He's got to know his birthday.
Oh, he's got his SIN number too. So are you, Jack? Let's throw this question to you. Are you excited about the halftime show?
Yeah, I am. We were robbed of a weekend concert due to COVID. Now we're finally going to get it with everyone else in the world.
Yep. We can't transfer the ticket over, unfortunately, to this concert. But
I think it was supposed to be?
A long time. It's
supposed to be June 21st, June? I believe. It was late June. I think it was right before Canada Day is going to be.
Yeah,
nice.
So we were pretty excited about that. Like 8 of us had tickets, and I'll take the blame of this. I was trying to be positive. I was like, we had the option to either get rid of the tickets and get a refund or move it to whenever the concert was going to be. Yeah, as such an optimistic person, everyone knows me, I said, let's just push it and then we'll get to go next year and everything will be okay. So I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately, but I guess we'll get our refund come June 21st or whenever that date was supposed to be. That being said, I think the important question is, what is the first song that's going to be performed by The Weeknd during the halftime show? Lots of great hits by the Canadian artist. We've got Blinding Lights is the favorite. We've got Heartless, In Your Eyes, Starboy, Can't Feel My Face, bunch of other songs. Benny, are you a Weeknd fan? Do you have a pick here?
I saw The Weeknd like years ago, back when Trilogy was the album at the time. Back in, I think it was at like Budweiser Stadium. I don't even know if it's still called Budweiser Stage, but yeah, it was sick. I don't know. I feel like he's not gonna go Blinding Lights as the first song. I feel like that might be like the closer. But I feel like I can like see like the intro and the bass of Can't Feel My Face as a starting one. So I'm gonna go with that.
I like that answer. It's a bit, if people know what the song's about, it might be a bit of an entry for the standard listener, but I like that answer because I was originally like, you got to go with Blinding Lights, but then I thought like, you want to kind of close the show. So I'm going to go with Starboy. I think that's a banger to start off with. I think that's what I'm going to pick. And then, like you said, finish with Blinding Lights. What are you thinking, Jay?
Yeah, I was thinking Can't Feel My Face as well, because I'm pretty sure that song kicks off the themes of the album, like the kind of storyline that he does with the whole injuries.
Yes, I think that kind of builds
off of it. So I could see that being the starter.
Do you think this is going to be like one of the transformative? Because last time when we saw him, when was it, Jack? The Grammy? Was it what was it that we saw him when he had his all face like bandaged up?
Not the music award, the American Music Awards or something?
Yeah. So I wonder what's going to be next. If he's going to have that mask on still, if he's kind of transforming. But I like everyone's answer there. And just a follow-up question on that as well. Do you have somebody who you think is going to be the odds-on favorite to perform with The Weeknd? So here, this is somebody who Jack and I mentioned before. We have Drake as the favorite. We have Maluma, Ariana Grande, Future. And then we also have Lana Del Rey. And then also you can go off the board with a kind of underdog person. I personally didn't prep for this, but I don't know what's going to happen. Does anybody have,
I don't think they've announced anything yet. Like normally at this time, like we know who's like the little sideliner and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if like they're, because of COVID and playing it safe, if they might just like not have, like just let The Weeknd do his thing. I feel like he might
that too. He seems like a
solo. That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be anyone.
Are we all locking in solo act? No guest?
I don't know. That's what like.
They'll beam somebody in maybe.
I don't even get some of the like the odds people to like be like, I get Future, I guess. And I get
Drake's not like, going Drake. On as like a guest.
Yeah, guy. But like
he's gonna highlight it, isn't it?
He sprained his ankle too, so he can't drop an album either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and another Lana Del Rey, right? But I don't think she's like, I don't think her like stuff is like Super Bowl stuff.
Is either. It gonna fit? I don't think it goes with.
Yeah.
She sings like "Fuck It, I Love You" or something. It just doesn't necessarily vibe with the theme. But I mean, also, I feel like The Weeknd is kind of like that not younger demographic, but do they want to have kind of one of those traditionalists come in? You got anyone in mind? Where is it? Tampa Bay? Who's residing in Tampa Bay and would be a good? You have anyone off cuff, Jay?
Flo Rida.
Imagine. I just hope they don't
bring up Pitbull. I don't know. Lana Del Rey kind of makes sense now that she's got a new album coming out. Maybe she hops on it. Another Friends, but I don't think. I think it'll be no one. I know he's pumping his own money into this performance too. So maybe he's just going solo.
All right. I think we've kind of hit the nail on the coffin on some of the prop bets. We did some legitimate Super Bowl actual playing prop bets, and then we did the halftime show prop bets. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a couple of the recent actions in the NFL, and then we'll move on to the next category. But I know, Ben, this affects you as we kind of got into, and you kind of like Tom Brady just a little bit, but more than that, you like the Patriots as well, and they're looking for a quarterback. I know there are a couple quarterbacks on the market, and there was a recent huge quarterback trade. What did you think about the Matt Stafford and Jared Goff trade?
Well, I had my fingers crossed that Stafford would come to the Patriots. And then he comes out afterwards being like, I would have accepted the trade anywhere but New England. So on behalf of all Patriots fans, I could say, I don't want you. Like,
it's very funny because it's not like he's like the best. We'll get into it in a second, but it's not like he's the best quarterback on the market either. So is it like a fuck you to Matt Patricia? Is that what it is?
It's got to be. I mean, that was like my initial read of it. And like, that's why I was kind of like, man, like, why would the Patriots like hire this guy again? Like, I feel like it's just like Belichick being like nice to his friends at some points, which like kind of bothers me. I've never been huge like Team Belichick. I've always been more Team Brady. But I mean, also like he kind of saw what Cam Newton had to deal with this year. Like, I would argue like the Patriots like wide receiver and like talent position, like tight end, probably the worst in the league. So it's kind of like, I get it for Stafford. Like, why would I want to go there? And like, I'm always going to be like compared to Brady. Like, those are shoes like I don't want to be filling. So I'm like, okay, like whatever. Like, I kind of get it. But at the same time, I'm like, it's still Belichick. It's still like Josh McDaniels, like one of the best offensive coordinators. So
would you
agree it is what it is.
They have to draft a quarterback. Like, that's the only way that the transition is going to happen. Or do you think it's going to be via trade that they get their next guy?
I hope it's by draft, because I feel like that's the only, like, it's like the only thing like kind of would kind of work. It'd be like the next guy. Like, if I'm a veteran, like, I don't really want to be like compared to Brady like constantly. But if I'm like a new guy trying to like make my name in the league, and it's also like, who can the fan base like get behind, right? Like, I don't want to get behind Ryan Fitzpatrick as like a bridge quarterback, yeah, right? Like, I'd rather like a young guy I can like get a jersey of and like not worry I'm dropping $150 for 6 games from some random veteran plug. But I don't know, we'll see. I don't know, like, we have a first rounder, it's 15th overall. I don't think a QB's, or at least like a top tier QB, is going to drop that far. I feel like they'd have to trade up. But I mean, I don't know. I saw a rumor that Mitchell Trubisky was on the Patriots radar, and I'm like, oh, please, God, no. Like, anyone but him.
It's Jack's favorite team. He picked the Bears, and every pick him, we add this Bears. Didn't watch a
Bears, man,
I don't think, but.
He won Nickelodeon Player of the Game.
Yeah. You got to mean something. You got slime.
MVP. MVP, yeah.
Let's hit Ben with a couple names of players who are on the market right now, and we'll see where we think they're going to go. So let's start off with Aaron Rodgers, a bit of a controversial name to have on this list, but where do you think he's going to play next year?
I mean, he'd be dumb to leave, and I like don't see anyone like going out and getting him. I don't know. Like, if I had to place money on it, yeah, he's going to be back in Green Bay. I think his comments after that game were more just like, hey, like, get me help. Like, I'm done losing. And
don't kick the field goal. Game.
Don't kick the field goal, or like, don't draft my like successor at quarterback in the first
round. Get a
round.
Coach like, with some big Andy Reid nuts.
I could have used like a first round wide receiver rather than you guys like drafting a quarterback that's going to replace me. So I feel, I think he's going to stay put. But I texted you this earlier today, apparently. Before like making the trade for Stafford, the Rams like at least reached out tentatively to the Packers to see if there was any like Rodgers interest, which would be nuts. But
I mean, that's a couple good wide receivers to throw to, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that would be a pretty intriguing offer to throw to Kupp and all the other guys.
And Woods, yeah.
I think that would be. I mean, if Rodgers probably chomping at the bit there, but I mean, he's got one of the best wide receiver red zone guys to throw to. And what do you think about Aaron Jones, the next guy on the list? Do you think he'll be back in a Packers uniform? I know Packers Twitter was deathly after that championship game. Like, he played an unbelievable season from what I saw from the stats, and then just he makes a fumble and a couple misplays. I mean, the first one wasn't even a fumble, like his own team. It wasn't.
Yeah. And I mean, both of the hits, like, it was a big hit. Like,
the guy was, like, genuinely hurt from the hit. Like, you got to give a football player some slack. Like, the guy can't return to the game. It's not like he's doing it for pride. I mean, some people on the Twitter were saying their coach was sitting him. It's like, the guy looked like he was, like, couldn't even stand up after that hit.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, Mahomes woozy, but it was, like, he wasn't getting up.
Yeah. I mean, they got that guy killed. Coming in, right? And then Jamal
and
Williams is that his name? Too. Yeah.
I think Aaron Jones is a free agent too. So like I don't see him coming back. And like I don't know. I just have a thing against like paying running backs like a shit ton of money. Like you saw Todd Gurley like get paid, and then I mean he does have injury concerns, but like what? Like the Rams released him. They couldn't even like get a trade offer for him. Or like Le'Veon Bell, like he got paid by the Jets. Even like I'm not shitting on Christian McCaffrey, but he got like his 100 mil and he played what 3 games this year. Yep. So it's just like, yeah, like I wouldn't pay running backs. And like, I feel like Green Bay has 2 decent running backs. So yeah, I don't see any need for them to re-sign him. I have no idea where he'd go. I have no idea what.
It's literally just picking teams like, who has there. Money, yeah. Who needs a running back. What about, let's just go straight to the feature name. I'm sure there's at least 10 or 15 teams knocking at the door to try to get this guy. It's Deshaun Watson. Obviously, things have went kind of crazy in Houston. He's officially requested a trade now after losing, like, one of the best wide receivers in the game a year ago for a running back who is just not that good anymore. Things just seem to be going haywire there. Is there a team on the list for your list that you think Deshaun Watson is going to go to?
I think there's 2, but like, okay, to be honest, like, I feel like the only team that shouldn't make a call for him is the Chiefs. Like, they have Mahomes, they're good, but like every other team, I'm like,
what
why
about the,
not try?
And the Bills, and the Bills.
I don't know. If I would rather have Watson than Allen, even like Seahawks, right? Like, Russell Wilson's good, but I'd rather have a 24-year-old than like a 32-year-old, right? Like, I was like going through the list. I'm like, Rodgers, you could kind of make the case, but again, he's 37. He's kind of like, not a big fan of like LaFleur, the coach. So, but I feel like it's going to be who has the assets to like get him. And if you can get Stafford for 2 firsts and Goff, I know part of it was kind of like accepting the Goff salary hit, which was almost, it was almost like an NBA style trade where like you're giving up draft picks and a player to like eat someone's salary. But still, like Watson could probably get 3 first rounders and like a decent like veteran defensive player. So if I feel like the Jets could make a pretty good offer. I would die though, man. Like Deshaun Watson in the Patriots division, Josh Allen, Tua, I don't know. Like the Patriots have what, fucking Stidham? But that would be hard. But I also think the 49ers would be like a great landing spot. That's where I want them
to go. They have such a good defense and they've got some assets, young assets on.
They would immediately become NFC favorites, I think, for Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably one of the top five defensive players. Am I crazy in saying that? Top 10, yeah. Top 15? I don't know. I think I want him to go to the football team. Hopefully they get their new name soon. Is there any?
I think Cam Newton might go to a football team.
Oh, yeah.
Rivera is the coach there, and he was Cam's coach in Carolina. I think they like each other.
They only like notoriously injured quarterbacks on their team.
Honestly. I don't know. I feel like that might stick out the football team name. I feel like everyone's kind of like gone behind it.
I think it's hilarious. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it. Jack, did you catch that earlier when we were talking? Bev was like, oh, he played the football team the football team. And I was like, that's such a hilarious non-football listener is like, fuck, they're all football teams. Like, what's he talking about?
No, I know the notoriously no-named football team, and now they're next to the Bears. I'm rooting for them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when they, like, had the controversy of, like, they've had the controversy of the name forever, but they finally, like, caught up with them this past August. Like, I thought there were some pretty good ones. I thought Washington Warriors could work. And then there was one where they were going to try and do something to, like, give back to like, First Nations by, like, naming it after like an army brigade in like the Second World War, I think, of like pilots that were Native American. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the football team. I wouldn't be surprised if they keep it.
Yeah. I guess there's a couple, we don't want to dive too deep into it. I'm going to list off my list. We're going to go with teams that really need a quarterback. You would say maybe the Colts, the Saints, and the Bears and also the Steelers if Ben retires. So I'd say those are like kind of good teams that need a quarterback. Then you've got the Dolphins, which have a quarterback but don't know their quarterback. So I think that's probably, they've got the asset to trade. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I could see them giving like 2 first rounders and like Tua to the Texans. I saw something wild too that would be like, if you're Jacksonville, you're sitting with like the first overall pick, like would you give that up and pass on that? What's the guy's name? Trevor Lawrence. Like he's supposed to be like the best QB prospect in like a decade, but still it's like an unknown quantity coming into the league. Like, wouldn't you at least consider it for Deshaun Watson?
Have there been undisputed number one or like top 3 picks that have gone sour in the last 10 years? Burrow seems to be great.
Who else? Yeah, I mean, Goff isn't great.
Wentz yeah, that's great. True. That's true.
I mean, before
Goff's
that,
young though. He doesn't seem, as like an outsider opinion, he doesn't seem that young to me, but he's very, what did he get drafted in 2016?
Yeah. I think like the last bust I can think of is before your time, probably, Thomas, like 2007, I want to say. Oakland, they drafted a guy. Just a bit before you.
10 years.
But yeah, they drafted the QB first overall. Jamarcus Russell was his name out of LSU. And like, he's a bum. Like he just like didn't put in the time. Like he got into the league and then just like didn't study the playbook, didn't put in the time. And I think he was out of the league in like a year and a half or something like that.
Wow. Okay. I think we've went into everything that we talk about for football. We went into what's going to happen with the Super Bowl, whether it be in the game or on the halftime show. Talked about some trade rumors. I think we might as well take a bit of a break from the sport. Let's learn a bit more about Ben's life. You good with that, Jack?
Absolutely.
All right. On that note, I think it's about time. We're getting quite a bit into the episode. So let's crack open our 8.2% beer here. We are cracking open the IPA number 15. Have you had this one, Ben?
I haven't had that one. That one does not ring a bell. But I mean, I've had their IPAs before. And that's what I was telling you. Like, yeah, you can have a couple, but you have two or three of those 8%ers, you're gonna be sitting down for a while.
Especially like you're out in the patio on with some sun, like that's a recipe for disaster for sure. Awesome can though, I love the colors on it. So Jack, what are you having?
This is the jam, I think, right? Jam up the mash.
Yeah, so that's Ben's favorite. So hopefully you're in for a good one there. All right, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
All right, so we started off the episode with quite a bit of sports talk. From here on out, we're going to dive more into Ben's life. He's quite an interesting guy. So we're going to start off. He's got a big passion for branding, marketing. Obviously, we work together in that field. And you're also really into the design portion. So was that the reason that you kind of lived in the States for a couple summers? Was it strictly because of that design portion and going to school in that? Or was there kind of ties that you had to New York beyond that?
I think, yeah, like good combination of like wanting to go to design school down there. And I mean, I have my uncle who lives in New York and San Fran is kind of like bi-coastal in that regard, but it's definitely one of the reasons. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Like when I went to university, I'm like, or even in high school, I'm like, I don't know what I want to be doing. I knew I wanted to like be in the tech field. I'm like, I want to end up at, you know, a Facebook and Apple or Google. I just didn't know like
small companies. How,
yeah. You know, just your average Joe. But I didn't know like what the best way to like go about that was. So I went to U of T as a comm sci student, thought I'd be like, you know, coding it out 9 to 5. And like, I definitely enjoy computer science. And like, I enjoyed like the mindset that it gets you. And I don't know if either of you have like ever like dabbled with it, but it's just like an interesting, like breaking down a problem and like a step-by-step, like if then solution, like thinking like that code is great and like great to have. And it's obviously like an important skill. I feel like it should be mandatory in high school now. Mm-hmm. But I did that first year at U of T and I'm just like, it's not what I want to be doing. And like at the same time, I really enjoyed like the front end of coding, I guess you would call it, like the graphical user interface of it and getting into, yeah, like graphic and digital design. So I actually ended up transferring from U of T to Parsons School of Design in the States. I had applied there in high school, but like at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'll play it safe. I'll go to U of T, be like 20 minutes away from my parents. But yeah, I transferred there. So I actually went there for the summer between my first year and my second year of university, just to like catch up on some courses. Like, I didn't want to be behind, I guess. Mm-hmm.
In summer, and then, like, New York doesn't sound too bad either. So yeah, that's a good perk as well.
You dabble, you know, go watch a couple of Yankees games. But I kind of went there. I like loved the projects I worked on. I just didn't think I could do like a fine arts degree, like full time in undergrad. So at this point, I'm really pissing my parents off, being like indecisive, being like, hey, I'm going to go back to U of T, do my Bachelor of Commerce with marketing, because I feel like that was like the best blend of like the analytical comp sci part of it with like the design part of it, which was like ads. But I, like you were saying, I went to Parsons for the next couple of summers just for like continuing education and getting a graphic certificate in there, because I still, you know, I love that graphic and that creative mindset. And I kind of like have kept it up, I guess, with like freelance and even like some of the work I do now, I'm able to do graphic design, more intensive graphic design than just like marketing stuff.
I guess let's jump into, I guess we're going to get into your kind of graphic design passion, your branding passion later, but let's talk about actually living in New York. So how was that? Like, had you been there prior to your first time visiting, or was it a first time thing when you got there?
I've been a couple times before, and like, I don't know, I knew I wanted the big city vibe. Like, I know, like, Tommy, you went to Queens for uni, and I mean, you like grew up in Bowmanville. I mean, I grew up in a small town too, and I'm like, I want that big city experience for uni. And like, I mean, you can't get bigger than New York, right? So Parsons is located, like, I guess you could call it the Village area of New York. So it's like, it was like Fifth Avenue and 14th Street. And it's like, it's so wild too, like going to U of T where like, I mean, there's a campus, it's still like within Toronto, but like if you go to school in New York, like there's no campus. It's literally like a building in New York City. So you didn't really get that, like the community vibe, I guess, but it's like you're living in New York, right? Like you have a full community outside. So it was like super cool. Like it was right by NYU. So like the whole area was like super like full of like college kids and stuff. I lived like on dorm at Parsons. It was like the nicest dorm I've ever been in. It was
like, what's, is it like a campus or is it just like a standalone?
It's straight up just like a big tower. I think there's, okay, so there's a big tower of like residences and then probably the first two floors of it are like lecture halls and stuff. And then there's another building across the street that's about like 7-8 stories. It's just like design studios. So like there's iMac labs and like studio labs where you know, like 3D printers and all that wild stuff. But yeah, it's not, there's no campus. There's no like court, you know, picturesque courtyard that you'd see on like a college campus. So it was, yeah, it was definitely different.
I feel like we've all three of us has kind of had a different school experience. Cause Ben, you've always kind of been in that big city downtown. I decided to go kind of the college town route in Kingston. And then Jack, you've kind of been closer to home, but you visited multiple universities. You've been all over. You've been to Ottawa. So you pretty much got a taste of everything. But it's funny, I was talking with Maria, I guess it was about a week ago now. And I was saying, I think I was happy with kind of my progression in life because I was thinking about her, for example, going to grad school in Toronto. So she had normal high school. Then she went to the university town and now she's doing grad school in Toronto, albeit not the best time to be in Toronto for grad school, obviously not in person, can't go out and things like that. But I think she's done a pretty perfect way of doing university because you get a bit of everything. But yeah, it's funny to see how you can have a complete, like, I feel like Ben and I and Jack and I and Jack and Ben have all had different university experiences based on like geographically where you went to school. So it is kind of crazy to compare those different experiences.
Yeah. I feel like my biggest like different experience too in terms of like Canada versus the States was like my first summer there. Like some people wanted to like go out and like, I mean, in Canada, like I never had a fake ID in Canada, right? Like I turned 19 in like February of my first year, but like down there, poor guys, like fuck, 21. And like, yeah, they're like, oh yeah, like get the fakes ready. I'm like, I don't have a fake ID. Like I live in fucking Canada.
like a New York jail, but no time.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that was funny for me the first summer I was there. Cause yeah, I wasn't of age. So I'm just like, all right, fuck. Like we like tried to get into like different places. Like some bars like don't even check, right? Down in the village. But
yeah, you probably found every single one that didn't check.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never used a fake ID either. I mean, not to out us here on the podcast, but that was never a thing. I'm such a goody two shoes. I never did have one in Kingston because like you said,
you didn't have to, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like first year we figured it out. And then second year, July birthday, like it wasn't a big issue for us. So yeah, everything worked out in that regard, but yeah, it is kind of crazy to think about different paths people can take based on their geography, like I said before. So let's get into the New York part though, not just the school part. I feel like New York has a controversial opinion around it. And I mentioned this to Maria today. She's like, what are you talking about? We love New York. That was like the best trip. We went there for 5 days and we loved it. But I feel like there's a difference between being a New Yorker and being a tourist, because I think it's crazy. Like, I love that city. 5 of the best days of my life when we went there, we did so much. But I hear in like a lot of media I consume that if you're a New Yorker, I couldn't imagine being in a town where there's just constant tourists. And I've been in Toronto, I know, but I feel like it's not to the same regard. Like Jack, would you like to live in New York?
Yeah, I have a different experience. You said that was the best 5 days of your life. When I went to New York, we stayed in this like terrible,
oh, you told
Best
this,
Western near the Bronx, and we went to the Yankee Stadium to go to see a Yankee game, and we're walking through, and like we're the whitest people ever walking through.
Yeah, if you can walk to Yankee Stadium from your hotel, that's
first of all, I jumped over a cat-sized rat. Over to us, and he goes, hey, here's a bus schedule, this one will pick you up really soon. We're like, we're walking to it, we're not taking a bus. And the guy goes, no, you should probably take the bus, you will get mugged. And then come to the stadium, we almost got mugged. I know, it's crazy because we had the I remember you talked about this on a previous podcast. I was like, that's not how I had my New York experience at all. We were aimlessly walking through the downtown after beers, like not really knowing where we were going. Maria had her maps out and we walked home most of the nights. But yeah, that's a bit of a traumatic experience. What do you think about that? Where do you lie on the scale, Ben?
I feel like I kind of have had both. Like, I mean, the longest I've lived there would be like 4 week span, right? Because the each course I took was like a month long.
Yeah.
So I feel like you kind of get like the long termness of it, and like just because I've been like so many times now, like some of the touristy stuff like wears off. Like I still like going to like the museums and stuff, like MoMA, and like Central Park. Like you can't go wrong. But yeah, I'm not like as I like. Oh yeah, I avoid Times Square like the plague. Like it's the worst. But I mean, and I feel like it was also kind of like where I was living too. Like I was living in like the Village, which isn't like the biggest like touristy hub. Like, I mean, there's Washington Square Park, which is like that big like Arc de Triomphe looking thing if you've ever seen in like movies or walked by it. But I don't know. I've always had like that stupid, like the romanticization of like New York, right? Like, like you can do like anything you want there. Like you can like get anything you want. And yeah, like, I don't know, I love, like, Central Park is the best, and I'd say, like, my family, too, just has, like, a strong, like, culture. Like, my grandpa always loved, like, New York and Central Park, and when they were doing, like, the refurb of Central Park back in, like, the early 2000s, they were actually, like, to get the money for the refurb, they were selling off, like, benches. So if you go to, like, a specific bench in the mall, in, like, the main strip of Central Park, like, my grandpa has, like, a bench there with, like, his plaque and, like, you know, when he was born, when he died, and, like, some
that's
quote
crazy.
About, like,
that's
New
actually
York. Really... Yeah. So I just have, like, the, I don't know, like, the love affair of, like, New York, I guess.
Do you know what's funny? But when I went there, I totally agree. Like, when I went up the Empire State Building, it was, like, a rainy day. It was, like, totally shitty. I was scared. I hate heights. But that's something I'll remember forever. Like Maria laughing at me, like clinging to all of the like things you could grab, like all the railings and everything. That's something I'll never forget, but probably wouldn't do it again. So I agree with what you're saying there. But you said that you never really went to any like the, and I feel like this is also a massive tourist thing as well. But some of my favorite parts, we went to Jimmy Fallon, went to The View.
Yeah,
I went to the Comedy Cellar, which were like three of my like craziest favorite memories from that trip. And you never really did that when you were there. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I've definitely like done the touristy stuff, like Empire State Building. I've done. I mean, if anyone is looking for New York tips, go to Top of the Rock. So like top of Rockefeller Place, and that's like the, in my opinion, the best view of New York because you get the Empire State Building in your shot, which is cool. I mean, yeah, I've been to Comedy Cellar. I've done like. The Staten Island Ferry, it's like free if anyone is like looking for a I think I gave you that tip, right?
Yeah, you did. You did. And I went on it, and I mean, you've said that you've given me the tip now, so I feel bad in saying this, but I was a bit underwhelmed. There's a lot of people. I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of like running in different ways getting on the ferry.
Because it's free, I think.
I think it is, yeah. I can't remember perfectly, but I think it is. And I remember hopping on, and it was cool to see the statue and everything. Like it was a pretty cool experience. And is that probably the best way to see it? You said, right? That's why.
Yeah.
You told me to get on there. And it was, I mean, it's not like we were fucking sitting right up to it, taking a picture. Like you had, that was the way how you could kind of get it the freeway, which made sense for us. But like, where does that take you to Brooklyn and Staten Island? Are they the same area? Am I wrong in saying
kind,
or no?
Kind of. It takes you like to Staten Island and then. Yeah, like, I don't know, I just usually, like, ride it, like, across, and then, like, right back.
Yeah,
like,
same here, but there were some characters on that.
Yeah.
I was like, you could film a sitcom on this fucking ferry here, like, some of the people yelling constantly. I was like, we need to make sure we're sitting in a safe spot here and pick it strategically.
Yeah.
But, that being said, it was a very cool view, and I have to admit, it was a good recommendation, because there's not many things that you can get for a good price there, so when you get advantage of them, you definitely have to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, I've done, like, the sports stuff, too. Like, I went to so many Yankee games when I was there in the summer, and that's why, not that, like, I'm, like, because I'm from Toronto, right? I should like the Jays, but I just have, like, this stupid, like, affiliation, and, like, I think I just know the Yankees players, like, more than I know the Jays players at this point. And my brother is obsessed too with trying to like get to every like baseball stadium. So we've hit the Mets as well. I mean, Citi Field, I think Yankee Stadium's just like a cooler environment. And then obviously like museums and stuff. Like I said, MoMA, the Mets, like the Whitney's one that most people don't go to that like I'd recommend. And if you go to the Whitney, it's right by the High Line, which I think is like the coolest thing in New York. Just like an old like above ground subway that they like transformed into a like a path walkway. I think it's almost like 20 blocks long. Yeah,
that's cool. No, we didn't go to that. That's actually awesome. And I feel like that's something that you and Jack have in common, because a lot of your trips were, if I'm not wrong in saying, Jack, were surrounded around going to ballparks, right?
Yeah, that was also a thing. Like he was a bigger baseball fan than I was. I was just kind of like a tag along guy. But yeah, he wants to go to like all the stadiums. And I think we got to around like, we got the double digits, but there's just some that we grew out of it eventually. And like,
yeah, no, my brother had a huge road trip planned for this summer, but obviously it didn't happen with COVID.
Is he older or younger?
Younger. He's 2 years younger. He's at Western. Well, I guess a year and a bit. But yeah, he was starting. And he was like just driving around kind of like the East Coast, like hitting all the stuff on the edge and like coming back up, looping through like Pittsburgh and stuff. I think he was like trying to hit like 10 ballparks in like 11 days or something wild like that. But
I mean, I don't want to say it's like so easy because the States are so big, but like in Canada, if you're a fan of baseball, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you only have one baseball team. It's a bit easier if you're a fan of hockey, right? But for other than hockey, the other major sports, you can't really get that feeling of going province to province, having that easy experience. So that's something that is pretty unique to America. Or for example, if you're touring Europe, it's a lot easier to travel cross country. So that is kind of an experience you have there. So it sounds like you are on the side of New York is a good spot. You're not an official New Yorker, so you don't hate the city. Which is, I'm on the same side as you. I'd like to go back. I'd like to take my family there. I know my sister. I'd like to give her the same first experience that I had with New York. So I think that's a plan. That being said, New York, when you go there, it's not just us tourists. There's a lot of celebrities there. Have you seen any crazy celebrities walking the streets in New York? Because I know I was only there for 5 minutes. Yeah. I saw a couple. I was like, this is pretty dope.
Yeah, no, I mean, the stuff you said at the Comedy Cellar, that was wild. But actually, when I was at Parsons the first summer, Brooklyn Beckham was at Parsons and like staying in the dorms. And so like, just like casually riding the elevator with this guy. And like, I think at the time he was dating,
last
name, Chloe or Tess?
Sorry, I thought Brooklyn was the wife. What's the Beckham? What's the wife?
Oh,
bad joke.
The Spice, I don't know what her name is.
That's who I thought it was when he first
The son. I'm not that important. trying to think about other stuff. Oh, it was cool. One time they were filming like right outside of school. I don't even know what the movie was called. I think it was some terrible rom-com, but it had like Rebel Wilson and one of the Hemingway brothers in it.
I just saw that movie the other weekend. It's where she falls and hits her head and then falls in love. The Hemingway falls in love with her. I literally I'd have to text my sister Maria to figure out what it was, but it's one of the trending ones on Netflix right now, I believe. That's hilarious that you said that movie, because I was like, I do not want to watch this. I watched it was kind of funny. I think it was New Year's, the day before New Year's or something, when I was together with my sister, my mom, and Maria. Anyways, not important.
Yeah, I just remember they were like filming right outside. No one could get out of the building. I'm like, what's going on? And it was just like, it was like Rebel Wilson was right there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
It's two straight podcasts with a Rebel Wilson story, AJ.
Yeah, we're going to keep it going now. Eventually we'll get her on.
Yeah, that's it. That's a screening question.
You'll have to notice it soon.
You got any good Rebel Wilson stories? Oh, you're never mind. You're
everyone has a Rebel Wilson story.
Other than that, though, I don't know. Like, actually, this is kind of a weird casual one, but when I was there with my dad a couple Novembers ago, like not while I was at school, we were walking. It was like more Upper East Side. And what was Trump's lawyer's name? The like
Rudy Giuliani.
Mike? No, not the other one that went to the one that went to jail for him.
Yes,
Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen. Yeah.
Oh.
He was just casually walking down. I'm like, shouldn't you be in jail? Like, as soon as like
he's got the he's got a massive ankle though. He's like, you got some ankles on you, Cohen. Honestly. Oh, that's funny.
Those are probably my best celeb stories. No, like, I don't know. I want to see like a classic New York celebrity. Like, if I saw like Jerry Seinfeld on the street, I would fucking die. Like, I feel like he's like the most like typical like New Yorker like you could get. But
yeah, I mean, I think I said it on the podcast before, but I don't know. I think it's just crazy how you just see these celebrities casually and they're walking around like normal people, which when you're from Bowmanville, like Jack and I, you just don't see that. So that is cool. And it's just that shock factor when you go do.
I love that too. Like when cities. You see them, they're in like the Marvel, like low key, like with the baseball cap and the glasses on, like, oh yeah, I'm not who I am.
It's like, you're not a New York Yankee fan. You're just wearing that hat. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Any other, oh, let's go into this first. Are you a big foodie? Like, was that another reason why you love being in New York?
I mean, yeah, like it's funny you say that, like, right? it's not even foodie, but it's like, I think I had just gone into like Barstool when I went, and I was like obsessed with Portnoy's pizza reviews. So I went to like a couple of the places that he ranked like high 8, because he never gives out a high 8. So it was like Joe's Pizza, which is like a classic one. There was one like right by us by Parsons. And it's so cool too, because like, you know, it's a good place, but like they have all these celeb photos like up. So there's like everyone you can think of is there, and I think that's where they like, I don't know if it's where they filmed it, but they have like so many photos of it, like the OG Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire when he was doing like the pizza boy stuff. Like, I don't know if that's the one, but like they have photos and stuff and like signatures, so with him there, so wild. And I love to, I don't know, I would say Joe's is the best pizza in New York, but I really like Grimaldi's in Brooklyn. So if you're ever like walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, like literally right when you get to the end of it, it's like Grimaldi's. It's like a really old family like pizza place, but it's sick. And then I don't know, like all the food's like so good there. I mean, with my girlfriend, like one place we always go to that's like special is in Central Park. There's a place called like Tavern on the Green. So we always do like a brunch there. And then I don't know if I told you about this place, Tommy. It was right by like Parsons. It was like the best dumplings I've ever had in my life. It's called like Mimi Chang's Dumplings or something like that.
You might have mentioned the name. We didn't go there, but yeah, there's so many good spots there. That is crazy. Yeah. It's funny because the tourist app is one bite. Like, if you're there, you got to try a couple of them. Even if you're not a Barstool fan, like Maria was the one who downloaded the app, and she doesn't even like Barstool, but it's just kind of makes it cool to pull up the app and where are you in New York? There's gonna be a place that he's went to close to you, so it just makes it such a cool experience.
Especially if it's like, I'm like, holy shit, it's an 8-8. He never gives out an 8-8.
Heel toeing it to the store. All right, we've talked about New York for a bit. I'm gonna crack open my last beer. It's Ben's favorite beer, and I know it's the one that Jack's drinking now. It's the Jam Up the Mash. So I'm excited to kind of, as your girlfriend said, Ben, the nice little sour beer. So I'm going to crack that open and enjoy it on the rocks. It's a great last beer for sure. It just picks you up. It has that sweetness, but it tastes excellent. So glad I saved it to the end. I know we had some debate about that, but definitely a good choice. So as we said before, when we spoke about you went to Parsons School of the Design. So I think that leads us into our last portion of the conversation. What kind of spurred your interest in design? Like, have you always been a creative person, or did somebody in your family have this interest? What led you to design?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like both. Like, I don't know, as a kid, I always, like, as dumb and cliche as this sounds, like, I love Lego, and like I love building. Like, I didn't like playing with the Lego, I like building it, and my brother could play with it. So like, I don't know, my mindset in like high school was like, oh, I'm gonna be an architect, yo. But then I realized I had to learn physics and chemistry to be an architect. So I figured graphic design and like coding was an easier way out. But yeah, like I love it. I love like, I don't know, I like having like kind of like both sides of it though, right? Like I kind of have that like computational analytic thing that like plays into like, oh, like this is good design. This is going to like lead to better stuff. And then I know I mentioned it before when we were talking about New York, my grandpa was actually a interior decorator. So like growing up as a kid, like we just kind of like always had that design sense. And everyone was always like, oh, like, yeah, you have like his design eye. So I kind of just like leaned into that a little bit.
That's cool. Was that like design houses or what kind of design was he into?
Yeah, it was like furniture basically. So okay. he lived in like Port Colborne, middle of nowhere. But he had like a really like high end interior design like shop. So like really like well done like couches and like solid furniture and stuff. And I mean, most of my furniture in my like condo is like his old Rudolph furniture because it just like holds its own. It's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. So I guess that kind of got you into the whole design mindset, and then you went to school. I think let's just go through a couple of recent rebrands that we've seen on the web, kind of what's happened, like some of the major companies, obviously with everything changing in the side of marketing, people have to change their logo, whether it be their logo, their brand colors, anything. I think the recent one that we've talked about, let's start it off with a famous company. I know my favorite company in university, right beside all of the bars in Kingston, was Burger King. You go to Stages, you go to Ale House, you enjoy a couple of beverages, and then you spend $40 on Burger King that you're going to just pass out and it's going to be sitting on your lap. So I love Burger King as a food company, nice, low, cheap alternative to maybe going to one of the more expensive places in your hometown for some junk food. What did you think about the recent vintage trend that they had on their rebrand? Was this something you liked, or were you more on the old Burger King logo?
No, I loved it. Like, I don't know. I think it's like just so different than all the other like rebrands that you see like going on, which are typically like the reversal of like nostalgia. But yeah, there's just something about like retroness that hits home. And it's almost like, I don't know if you guys watch like Mad Men, but like Don Draper goes off on like some stupid tangent about like nostalgia is like the yearning for like old or something like that. So like, I don't know, when I saw that was like immediately what hit my head. But I feel like they're going to do like such a good job. I mean, I think I've already seen some of like the packaging and stuff. Like, it's just so, yeah, it's so well done.
It is very similar to McDonald's, I have to admit. It's not that kind of vintage feel, but if you look at their cups, their packaging, it's similar to what McDonald's did as well. Jack, let's throw it off to you. I think this is going to be a great perspective for all the listeners. You put up Ben, who has the design experience, and then Jack, who's just a general savant of everything. I'd like to hear your opinion on the Burger King redesign.
I think it went kind of a cycle that I think all good rebrands go through. At first, I hated it, and then I understood it. I got it, and I like it now. And that's just kind of like everything. When I remember, I don't know if this even counts as like a rebrand. I remember when IHOP switched to Bob or whatever, and everyone was like giving it shit, and then people kind of slowly grew into it. They're like, okay, I kind of actually like this now. So I think that's kind of the same element I got from this.
I like the perspective, and I agree, Jack. It's kind of just like, I know, even just sending it to a couple friends, they're like, oh, this is kind of good, kind of bad, but it's like, this is your initial opinion, let's see what you say in say 6 months when you're kind of, this is the mainstay, exactly. Are you happy or are you mad about it? Ben, did you see the recent Taco Bell rebrand? What do you think about that? They went from, if you're used to going to kind of the KFC Taco Bell mix in the same restaurant, you recognize that Taco Bell logo. It's the mainly purple, but they got that nice pink bell. Now they've switched, for those of you, obviously, when you're listening, you can't see what the logo is, but they've gone strictly purple. Really, really like just black font and then just a basic purple bell. What do you think about that logo?
I mean, I feel like it's almost like the opposite of what we were talking about for like Burger King. Like, it's gone from like the like friendly feel of it to this more like, I mean, speaking completely like design sense wise, like the font that they have now is like sans serif. So like what that means is like there's no tails, I guess, under the font. It's just like very flat and neutral. I don't know. I just feel like everyone is trying to do this. It's like the digitization of a brand logo. They think digital first. Like, how is this going to look on like an Instagram feed, or how is this going to look like in a very small like cover or not? Yeah, like profile photo, which is like great. Like, that's how you should be thinking. But you kind of have to like balance it with like, this is, I don't know, this is like, this is gonna be on your packaging. This is gonna be like elsewhere. So I don't know. This one gets low marks for me, but interested to hear what you guys think.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's like, it almost looks like they've kind of tried to go with a tech logo for a taco joint. It's like there's, I feel like Taco Bell has kind of that authenticity, and they just completely lost it with this basic font. And then just a very basic logo. What do you think about it, Jack?
Yeah, it definitely looks really sleek and it reminds me of when in the episode of SpongeBob, when Squidward goes to a new neighborhood for all squids, and it's this new sleek modern thing, but everything looks the same. And this is what it kind of reminds me of.
So yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing from your perspective?
I don't know. I definitely, it's definitely updated. I don't think it doesn't really strike me out as like, wow, this is a good logo.
Like, it just seems like it was a lot of money spent on something that's completely average. That being said, on Friday, Maria ordered Taco Bell Uber Eats, and they gave us a full boxed takeout, kind of like a box that had all the food in it. It was pretty nice. I didn't notice the new branding though, so obviously it must have been pretty meh, I would say, because I didn't notice it. But what were you going to end it off with, Ben?
Yeah, no, I feel like that just like shows, like, if you don't even notice the packaging, like how you're supposed to be like standing out like while fitting in. I get that, but it just, it clearly didn't work.
I think that's a perfect segue into our next brand. I think none of us were sold on Taco Bell, but speaking of packaging, I'm not sure if you saw this, Jack, pull it up if you haven't, but Amazon recently changed their app logo, and it mimics completely their Amazon box. So it's got the Amazon box, a light brown, as well as it has the blue kind of, I guess, what do you call that? Like a bit of a ribbon on the top, Ben. Did you like that Amazon like the rebrand?
Packaging tape. I mean, so I've changed, I haven't changed my opinion. I know when we were initially texting about
it. You loved it. And I was on the fence. I didn't know. It didn't stick out for me, but I understand what they were trying.
I think, I don't know, as someone who's probably ordered 2 Amazon packages a week for the past like 8 months of pandemic, like I get it. I feel like I can't give Bezos too much money, but I feel like, it's like they're playing off their like strongest, like, brand identifier, right? Like the package, the box. The more I looked at it, the more I'm like, oh, like I guess like it doesn't have like the classic Amazon like orange and like dark bluey gray like background that I'm used to seeing. And then I saw some hilarious like tweets about it that said that the blue tape looked like a Hitler mustache.
I didn't notice that.
And yeah, you can't unsee it.
That's all I see now. What do you see that logo? What do you think of that icon, Jack?
Before it was related to the commander of the Third Reich, that's tough. I do like it though. The Hitler mustache aside, but I think it's a kind of a power move. Kind of, I love when they're like, we're so big, we're so mainstream, you know us just by this little fucking box and a swoosh. Yeah, it reminds me of when Doritos, I think, did that. They just put blue bags and red bags, no logo, and you're like, you know what it is. I'm like, I do know what it is. I eat that a lot.
When I first went to Ben, I know you liked it originally, Ben, and so the first things for me, I kind of like it because they just have that Amazon swish and it looks like a smile, so it's kind of like personified. But what stuck out for me is orange is a major brand color for them, and there was no orange on this icon. So if you know Amazon, their major logo has the orange swipe, A to Z, and that stuck out for me that there's no orange. Obviously, orange Ben, you could probably tell us you're not putting those two brand colors together, a light brown and an orange. So
yeah,
that's probably why.
I think the thing though that was so like refreshing for me was that like, yeah, like tons of app, like I don't know if you guys like have the Google like apps and shit on your phone, but like everyone is coming out with like app refreshes, which is literally just a white background and like an icon. So I think it was just like refreshing that I didn't see like a white background with like the orange swoosh. Like that was so like new and like different and unique. So like on my first instinct, I'm like, yeah, like good job. And like it's not like I don't like it now. It's like, but I still, yeah, I think it's just like well done. Like you went with your most like recognizable brand like image. And like, I mean, like Tommy and I, like we both know, like, yeah, like Amazon's orange, but like I'm not sure if like the average person would know that. The average person knows what their box looks like on their front door. You know?
Very true. Very good point. I think you just brought into a good conversation. I didn't have it listed, but Google was another thing that I mean, I didn't look into it too much, but I feel like they got a bit of backlash because Google has so many apps that you can download on your iPhone or your Android. But what they did with their rebrand is all of their apps look so similar. So if you're going through your app feed, your mail, your maps, your yeah. standard Google, they all look very similar. And they're very streamlined. And I feel like when you're looking through your app icons, you kind of want some sort of differentiation. Do you have any opinion on that, Ben?
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. And even like, I'm thinking like my use cases of Google, right? Like I probably have 1,000 Chrome tabs open and like those little images at the top, they're called like favicons. And yeah, like all of them look the same now. Like before there was like differentiation between like, oh yeah, like Sheets is green, Docs is like blue. I mean, I guess those ones are still green and stuff, but like I'm thinking like Gmail and like Calendar and stuff now. Like it was clearly like an internal like manager being like, I want all of our like apps to like be unified without thinking. It's like the classic like
branding.
Yeah, well, it's like the classic quote, like design isn't just how it looks, it's like how it works, and like it doesn't work, I guess.
Do you notice that, Jack, from kind of an outsider's perspective who's not as close to the branding side? Like, did you notice when the apps changed and you're like, fuck, I don't even know which one I'm clicking on anymore?
I never noticed that, but now that you've really pointed, I'm looking at my phone now and like Hangouts looks the same, Chrome looks the same, Reddit, YouTube, all these kind of owned things by them with a white background and just a logo. Yeah, I never noticed that, but that's now bothering me a lot.
Even Google Maps, like they had such an iconic like icon of like the map like before, and now it's just like the pin. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't like
me that. It doesn't bother me as much because all my Google apps are they're in a different spot. It's not like I line them up together. So my maps is like one of the first ones. Email, I know where I'm going for my emails, and Chrome is like one of my most used apps. So it's not a big deal. I feel like I'm not a major like user of the Google apps, so I'd probably have to search anyways, but still like I think it is a very valid point for an overbrand. I think on that note, we'll go through a couple more brands that really stick out to me. And I think this is kind of the complete opposite of what we just talked about. So Google, what they did is they went with a lot of the colors that we're used to seeing for Google. So it's kind of that whole rainbow of colors, the greens, the yellows, the reds, the blues. Whereas Instagram had a very kind of mute color. They were very cream, very brown. And they completely changed it when they went for this, I guess it would be a spectrum between purple, red, yellow, orange. What did you think when Instagram made that major brand change? I know it was a couple of years back, but I think it's still worth talking about to you.
Yeah. At the time, I was like very pro the change. Because I don't know if you guys remember going from like, I think it was like iOS 6 to iOS 7. Like iOS 7 was like, this flat, like very colorful, very like modern design. Whereas like the old stuff was more like kind of what Steve Jobs like. It was called skeuomorphism design, which basically is design is representative of like the real world object. So like if you had like a notepad, it would be like a yellow legal note, or like for the Instagram app, for example, like it literally looked like a Polaroid camera. It was just like very representative of the real life stuff. And they kept that for a few months into like the transition to iOS 7, where all the other apps were very modern and simple and flat. But this one was like kind of like sticking out, like, but not in a good way, I guess. So like at the time I'm like, oh yeah, like this is like, yeah, this looks great. This is like a modern refresh. And in terms of like the actual like app UI, like it went very white and black, I guess. Like when you open Instagram now, like that's really all you see. And like the focus is on the photos, which is like what it should be. I guess like reading more into it, I guess it kind of seemed like a little bit of like Zuckerberg giving like the FU to the Instagram founders and like telling them, oh no, you have to like rebrand. Like, but I still think it works. I think like the gradient definitely like stands out. And I mean, like they've done a pretty good job of using that gradient across their other apps. I know like a lot of people don't have those as like other separate apps. Like they mostly just use them within their stories, but like it's called like Hyperloop, right? Or what's the one that like bounces back and forth, or like even the what allows them to make grids and stuff. Like they, I think they use it well, like the gradient.
I saw you shaking your head a bit there, Jack. What were you thinking on this rebrand?
Oh no, I was pretty much in agreement. I don't know. I never really noticed the much of the Instagram stuff. I remember really liking the old iOS stuff. I remember YouTube was just like a TV screen. Yeah. I just thought that was there's something kind of, maybe that is kind of harping back to the Burger King nostalgia logo, and I kind of prefer when things were that. And maybe if I know there's like a weird thing you can do on Instagram. You can go to like your settings, you go to another page, and if you hold it down long enough, you can pick which icon you want your app to be. And they did that for a while. And but no, I think I do like the new stuff now, at least the layouts now. I don't really have any complaints for the app.
All right, so I agree. I think originally I was actually late into the Instagram game too, so I think it didn't affect me as much. But I mean, I remember seeing it and I was like, this is fucking crazy. This is a complete 180 to what we had before. So but I think it's kind of stood the test of time. I mean, when do you think that was, Ben? Like, how long ago was that? Was that like 4 years ago? Was that 3 years ago? Am I crazy in guessing those two? Or is it
What are we on now? We're on iOS 14, right? So yes. I feel like it would probably been like seven-ish years ago is when
Are you kidding me? That's insane to think about, but it makes sense.
I think it was summer of 2015. What I want to say is when the rebrand came out.
Time flies. Terrible guess by me, but you can't blame me. I guess the last couple of years have flown by, so makes sense. I think we're going to do one more of these, and then we'll move on to your probably favorite topic that we'll get into after. But I think a monumental change that a brand has had, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with just the logo, which we've kind of been talking about before, but it was with Dunkin' Donuts, where they rebranded and just went to Dunkin'. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you're saying. Like, it's not just about your logo, right? Like, it's about your overall strategy. And I guess, like, they don't want to be branded as, like, the donut shop anymore, which, like, I mean, that's what I think of it as.
Exactly.
I'm sure they make a good coffee. I'm sure, like, I don't know what they're branching out into that they don't want to be considered donuts and coffee anymore, but yeah, it's like kind of like taking into consideration, it's not just like a design thing. It's like an overall like strategy. It should be like telling the story of your company, not just visually appealing.
Well, it's funny because I looked into it and it's like, some people are saying the move was just so newcomers to Dunkin' Donuts didn't think they just sold donuts like Krispy Kreme. Like they wanted people to think, hey, this is where I can go to get my coffee. And they were like, we can't have donuts in our brand because people think you can just go here for donuts and they'll go to somewhere else in the States to get their coffee. So it's kind of crazy how just like a kind of a brand name and a brand logo can have such an influence on what the new consumer is thinking. I don't know, Jack, are you a big Dunkin' fan?
I actually am. Every time I've been to America, we get the coffee cake muffins. I'm telling you, these are the best things you'll ever eat.
It's not Dunkin' Muffins, it's Dunkin' Donuts. Well,
I don't, good thing I'm not running the ads then. I'm running their creative decisions. But if I was running their kitchen, I'd say pump more donuts, sometimes, or muffins, sometimes we can't get them. That's all I have to see. We can't get them. They should rebrand that, become Muffin, that's it, just be Muffins.
Fair enough. Any rebuttal to that, Ben, or are we good from a branding perspective on the Dunkin' change? Because I think we agree that it was definitely a good move and it just makes sense overall.
Yeah, I'm good with Dunkin' Muffins.
Thank you.
Let's send it in. Maybe they'll change it. You never know.
It's gonna be an empire.
I mean, the change can't be that hard, right? You just pop that pink font in that says muffins instead of donuts like it was before. I know I'm looking at kind of a comparison between the two logos. I think what they compensated was before they were Dunkin' Donuts, but they had a coffee photo. which to me is like, that doesn't make much sense. But I guess they were saying we're a donut brand, but we also have coffee. And then their new logo just has the Dunkin' name with no photos. So I guess it's like Dunkin' in general is a brand, but we're not kind of putting any icon with what we're actually selling. I think we've kind of dived into a bunch of logos. I hope it was fairly easy for the listener to follow on what we were talking about. And obviously a quick Google search can show you the previous and the current logo of all these brands. I think there's one brand that is above all when it comes to brands, or sorry, one brand that comes to kind of the forefront when Ben is thinking about what he enjoys, what he enjoys buying, what he enjoys wearing, what he enjoys looking at on a day-to-day basis, and that is Apple. So I think we would be remiss if we didn't dive deep into that.
I thought you were going to say Tom Brady again.
No, we can't do it full with Tom Brady.
Yeah, so, I think it just lends into like the design stuff, right? Like it's just like the industrial design of Apple is so... It's just like beautiful. It's not like some of their shit should be in museums, not in like consumers' hands. But I'm sure like all of us have like an iPod story, right? Like I'm sure every kid has. Like I remember my first iPod. It was a little like white iPod Nano, had 250 songs on it, and like I feel like that's what like got me into it. I don't know, Jack. What was your first iPod?
Remember, I had the it was like the long skinny guy.
I mean, the shuffle.
Yes, the shuffle. Yeah, it's like, it was whenever the screen came out, and when they had screens, it was like revolutionary, and they just went big with it. I remember that. And then I remember lining up on a Boxing Day when I was like 10, and we got the Touch, and it was like a revolutionary thing.
Oh yeah,
like we couldn't believe what was in our hands. I was trying to figure out, like they sold this app that was like, you can make toast on it. And I was like, we got to get this app, guys. It's only 99 cents. We can put whatever we want on this digital piece of bread.
I miss the old App Store days. Like right when it came out, like all the stupid, like obviously there's like the stupid fart apps and like the Zippo lighter app. That was,
one was the best.
Yeah.
That one was
and then all the games too. Like I remember it was kind of like Guitar Hero. I forget what it was called. It's like tap
revolution.
Yeah. I was obsessed with that one. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Apple does such a good job in like they don't sell you on like a tech feature, right? They're not being like, get this iPhone with 250 gigabytes and like super speed. Like I feel like the greatest like juxtaposition of like two brands would be like BlackBerry and Apple. Like when BlackBerry came out with their like tablet that failed, I think it was called the Playbook. Their feature was like, oh, like it does like corporate email and it has like 64 gigabytes. But when the iPad came out, Apple's marketing was like, iPad, it's magical, right? Like it's just like the emotional piece that like you're like getting onto that they just do like, yeah, such a good job in. And I don't get, I mean, like you see it a little bit, like, and you kind of see like the copycats that like try and go for like the emotion, I guess. Like I feel like Samsung does like a lot of stuff now with that, like at least their like videos look similar to Apple. Hell, like Microsoft launched like stores that look like almost identical to the Apple store, right? But it's just like it's like not authentic in that regard.
And they were never like world renowned for their like tech specs, at least. Like when they came out with their like laptops and like even those big like desktop kind of things they had, they were always kind of slow in terms of like processing and graphics, but they always had that leg up though from design from Microsoft, because Microsoft stuff could work. They had graphics cards and all this stuff, but they looked atrocious. They're these bland black boxes, but Apple always stepped up with like at least cool designs. Like you remember what a Mac looked like it's the big screen, or even when it was the desktop, it was like
Yeah,
the big white tower looked cool. Even now, it's like a big cylinder. I don't know. They always have these cool. They've always been a leg up over the competition in terms of design.
Yeah, and it always just like, I don't know. I feel like it always just like echoes back to like, yeah, like in the 80s and stuff. And like Jobs was initially doing it. Like computers were like scary. Like they weren't for the average consumer. Like but he designed stuff to like look friendly. Like the original Mac was meant to look like a smiling face. And then like when he came back to Apple in the late 90s and like they had the iMac, it was like a light blue. And it was like, computers aren't supposed to be blue. They're like beige or black. Like, what are you guys doing? But it's just like, yeah, like small stuff like that. And like you're saying, like the specs, like they don't even say the specs sometimes because like it's not as good as like what Android has. But at the same time, like I feel like Apple has like the ability to like optimize it because they're making both like the hardware design like and the software design. Whereas if you're an Android phone maker like Samsung, right? Like you're making the hardware, but then Google's making the software. So like the two don't really talk to each other in the same way that Apple can get it to go.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. And I remember there was the big controversy when I don't really remember it though. Did Apple patent the design for what the iPhone was, and then Samsung.
They have a couple like interesting patents that I'm like, I don't know how they improved it. So yeah, they have like this one got thrown out, but they patented like the design of an iPhone, which is just like a black rectangle, which like doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think that one works, but there's a couple that are interesting. So you guys remember like on your iPhone, you used to like slide to unlock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an Apple patent. Like you can't do that. And like another interesting patent too is the elastic effect. So like if you guys go on your phone right now and you're refreshing a page, or like, yeah, you're refreshing your Twitter feed, refreshing Instagram, your mail, it does like that elastic band effect where like it shoots back to the top.
Android doesn't have that?
Can't do that. No.
That's insane. Really?
It has like a weird kind of like color animation, I guess, that like tries to do like a little bit of an elastic effect. But like, yeah, it's a design patent that Apple holds.
That's actually crazy. That's a crazy fact, Ben. I love that you said that, because I haven't had an Android phone since my Windows phone in high school. So I would just not know that was a thing that only Apple users have. That's insane, Jack.
I don't know, just like that's like what I how I assume like applications like interact. Like, I don't know.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I've always thought like everything had the slide. I know they don't do it anymore though. Obviously they went from thumb and then to face, but I do remember I have friends that have Androids and they be like, oh, my lock screen's like
it's like the weird grid thing.
Yeah, and then you get in and I'm like, I mean, that's secure, but like I'd forget that in a millisecond. That's funny that they seems like they're just patenting easy to do stuff that every phone you think would want to do. That's funny though. Do you have any like predictions for Apple going in the future? I see Tom has written down Apple glasses and Apple car. I don't, maybe misspelled Apple care, which I've never paid for.
it's a smart investment. You should really invest in it. No, I think there's a couple of things. So like one, Apple is like in the past couple of years has really gotten into like services. So like I know Tom and I, like we used to like talk about it on our commutes, but like Apple TV Plus, for example, like they're kind of just like featurizing like these like products that like other companies, like that's their entire fucking product, right? Like Netflix or like Disney and stuff is just like a way, another like perk for you to get like on your iPhone. It's kind of crazy to see like basically like what they're trying to do is just like increase their average revenue per user. Like they're selling less iPhones, how can we make more money out of people? So like I'm pretty like excited about some of their services. Like Apple TV is like, I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys watched Ted Lasso, but it's one of my feel good
Tom's favorite. You know,
it's my I voted it as my favorite TV show of 2020 on the pods.
It's perfect for a pandemic. Yeah. It's just feel good, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's got the plot and the comedy. I think that's a perfect show. And I was so glad when I started looking at some of the reviews for it, for some of like the major TV and movie reviewers that I know, they actually like it. Cause
yeah, it's like first big hit.
For the commercials, I thought there was going to be no one who liked that show. And I genuinely enjoyed it. And I feel like that happens for me a lot because I enjoy like the actions or the comedies that don't get the good reviews, but this one's genuinely getting like an overall good review for the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've got some crazy stuff like lined up too. Like I saw something come out on this past Friday. It was like a Timberlake film called like Palmer or something like that.
Yeah.
It looked like he was on Kimmel. Yeah. He was on Kimmel or Fallon or one of the two. He's talking about
Palmer, I believe. So like, I think my one prediction for them is like, I think Apple TV Plus is going to be the new HBO. I know that's like a pretty big like thing to say, but they're not going at like after the quantity of content that like Netflix or even Disney is doing, but like the stuff that they are like putting out, they're trying to strive for the HBO. They actually hired the old like creative director at HBO who got let go after it got bought by AT&T. So I think they have a new a Scorsese film coming out. They have one with the Spider-Man actor called like Cherry. That's supposed to be a contender for best picture this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be like interesting next couple of years and like hoping for great content. But yeah, I think you'll see them get into more. Like, I think they're going to go some type of premium podcast, like exclusive podcast, similar to what Spotify's done with like Joe Rogan, like trying to buy up some high profile names like that. So yeah, it's going to be like pretty heavy service oriented, but obviously like we're all looking forward to like the hardware. Like what's the next big thing? What's the next iPhone? And like Tim Cook himself has said that like he thinks augmented reality is like the next it factor. So I mean, I've got my eyes peeled for the Apple Glass. I just don't think like it's a realistic thing in the next like 2-3. I think it's like more of like a 2025 thing, just because like, I mean, you guys remember when Google Glass came out?
Yes.
It's just like it looked fucking dumb. Like no one's gonna wear glasses like that, especially if they don't have to wear glasses. But like there has to be like that it app, the same way like I don't even know if like what the it app was for iPhone, like just being able to touch your web browser, I guess was it.
Yeah.
But like I don't know, like what's gonna make people wear something when they don't have to, in terms of like they don't lack like the ability to like read or they're nearsighted or farsighted, right? Like you have to have something that like, I don't know, there's all those like creepy like Black Mirror stuff of like you walking down the street and like every person you pass, like you get info. Like I don't think that's it, but like like it'd be pretty sick if like I'm in like New York, right? And like I don't know where I'm going, and like I could put on my glasses and it would just be like augmented reality directions. I'm sure you can kind of do that already with your phone. But yeah, I read a rumor this past week that they were focusing on virtual reality, which is like when you put the big ass headset on and you just get like submerged into the world, versus like augmented where you're layering stuff onto your existing world. But I don't know, Cook has said like augmented is the way to go. So I'll trust him with that. I just don't think it's something we're going to see in terms of like battery and technology. Like it's got to be like a thin, nice looking pair of glasses. And I just don't think that tech exists right now. I don't know. Would you wear a pair of glasses, Tommy? I know you already wear one, but like, would you wear one that's like layered with like?
Tommy, gonna be caught dead in glasses.
I get enough heat for the ones I wear already, so I don't know. Honestly, like the only glasses that I can think of right now on the market are the kind of the Bose glasses. So they're kind of the glasses you put on and you hear the music.
Snapchat was pretty popular with whatever they called spectacles. Like
The Snap spectacles. You can only get them in like a vending machine that they put in like certain cities and stuff like that. And I remember those were you could like snap it. There's a button, it would go right to your story. You could just record it. I remember,
which is irrelevant now, probably.
It completely is. I remember it popped off because WorldStar had a bunch of shit of people wearing like glasses and watching like big fights happen.
I think they still make them too. I'm like, who's? I remember when they like first made them, they thought they were going to be like the biggest thing ever.
Like DJ Khaled, probably.
Yeah, I think they had to take like $100 million write-off because they just had all these spectacles in a warehouse and no one bought it. I'm like, god damn, guys.
I actually see quite a few functions for the like the Bose glasses. For example, you're mowing the lawn, and I don't like wearing headphones when I'm mowing the lawn. So like putting those glasses on a sunny day, or if you're sitting on the beach, you're reading a book or something, you want to put some music in the background, you put your sunglasses on and you listen to music. So I do see some practical kind of function for those. Yeah. That being said, I wouldn't put money into buying them. It's like, if you have AirPods, why do you need this?
Yeah.
The sunglasses or these glasses? But I know the Apple glasses are a bit different than that. They have a different function, but that's kind of what I'm basing.
It's more just like, what's the feature that's going to make it more than just like an Apple Watch for your eyes? Like, not that the Apple Watch doesn't do a lot of stuff right now, but really, like, I just like get my notifications and then I'll pull up my phone.
It's got to be the maps, like you said, though, Benny. Isn't that the way that you... the only reason you'd use those, unless they kind of switch this easy functioning wearing from putting on a VR mask into a glasses. So if you're want to play a video game or something like that, all you have to wear is glasses rather than this massive kind of headset that you have to put on to get that VR or AR experience. Yeah. That's where I could see
it. I'm not a VR guy. I don't know if you guys have tried it. Like, it makes me nauseous after like more than 5 minutes. I just, I don't know. I don't get it.
It overwhelms me. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And it's, and like, yeah, you throw it on and then you take it off and then you're kind of like, there's that big, like, there's like at least 10 minutes where you're like, I got to get situated. I need to remember where I am. Or yeah, it's weird. I don't like it.
It is good though. I remember I went to this conference in fourth year, and for example, surgery was huge and architecture were kind of two of the biggest reasons for it. Obviously not directly related to Apple, but just seeing what they could do in regards to training for surgery and kind of studying architecture, seeing those two applications were obviously huge.
I remember reading too, like Google Glasses, they still exist and they still get made. But I think I was reading like they get used in like warehouses and stuff for like, I don't even know what it is that they're using them for. Like,
inventory?
You know, QRs? Maybe. I don't know. But I know that they're still in use. It's just, yeah, it's just a weird, weird thing. I'd much rather have an Apple car, but that's just me.
Fair enough. What about those new over-ear headphones that Apple put out? I see you're wearing your AirPods now. Are you not going to upgrade and get the over-ears? I forget what they're called.
AirPods Max. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big over-ear or headphone guy. Like, I find, like, I can only do it for, like, 20. I used to have, like, Beats back in, like, high school when, like, they were a huge thing. And, like, Dr. Dre was a shit. But I don't know. I found, like, it's, like, wearing, like, a headband all the time. Like, I would get a headache after, like, 20 minutes. So, like, it's not for me. I've read reviews. Like, they say they're comfortable. Obviously, they sound amazing. Like, I like my current, like, I've got the AirPods Pro. And, like, I think the sound canceling is, like, pretty fucking amazing for a little pair of dinky like pods. And I've got a HomePod too. Like, again, I'm total Apple guy. I think they like they figured it out in terms of like audio, like spatial audio and like subwoofers and bouncing. But I don't know, it's $780, right? A pair of headphones.
I couldn't even sniff those. Like, I'd buy three pairs of AirPods before I even thought about getting the over-ears, I think.
Yeah. Personally. I mean, have I gone through the Apple Store and like added them to cart since they came out in December? Sure. But
like a dream.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not for me. There's just like some things that they come out with where it's like, this is like clearly not priced for like even like the remotely everyday consumer. Like, this is clearly made for like Tim Cook or another exec that were like, I want a fucking pair of over-ear headphones that I can have while driving in my Ferrari that's noise canceling. Like, it's just like, I don't know, it's not it.
But you did say you're a big AirPod fan. Do you think I guess they're going on the third generation now of AirPods, correct?
Oh yeah, like I think.
What's coming out next? What's the new feature?
I don't even know what the new feature. I think like I hope they make the stems. I mean, I don't mind the pros. I remember when the first AirPods came out though. Everyone was like, "These look fucking the ones that Jack has. Like, they're like, these look so stupid."
The best ones.
And then like.
And then like 6 months later, has that look so stupid? Is what
they
I
just
heard
knocked there. It out of the park with the first ones. Not even because of the price that I'm not upgrading. It's just because these are so much better. I bet. It has nothing to do with.
But
price.
Like. Everyone thought they were so dumb looking, and then like 6 months later it like became a meme and you were seeing everyone wearing them on the streets, right? Like, I think not that augmented reality isn't the next platform, but I think like there's an interesting potential for like augmented like auditory as a platform, right? Like, they kind of somewhat have stuff where like it can announce a new message if you turn that option on for like texting, and you can like quickly like I think it's kind of cool. Like, Tommy, if you were to text me right now, it would be like new message from Thomas Small, like so and so, and then like it'd be like, do you want to reply? And I can just like talk, like I don't have to be like, hey Siri, I don't have to be like whatever. But I feel like that's like an interesting like midterm field, because you're gonna have to get auditory done before you get augmented reality, because I don't know how you're gonna operate the glasses other than talking to them. Like, you're not gonna be like making stupid like head motions or like
tapping on the sides.
yeah, it's gotta work. But I think they do have to make it. I'm actually surprised they haven't come up with like a cheaper version, to be honest. Like, what, like, I feel like even the ones you have, Jack, the entry level model, what, it's still like $199, right, for AirPods. Like, I'm surprised they haven't tried to get it to like a $99 entry point. I think that's like the next, mm-hmm. or I'm hoping that like they'll come out with some new ones. Like, I don't know how they cut costs. I'm sure they're making a fat 40% margin on them regardless. Yeah. Like, that's real. But I think like, yeah, like if you can get a $99 entry point, like everyone will have AirPods. Like, that's the default. Mm-hmm.
They've got such a hold on you too. Like, I, at this point, if mine were to break right now, I'd have to buy another pair, because I can't go back to one, a wired headphone, or two, I don't trust another brand's kind of
wireless. Well, you can't even go back to wired. They fucked you over with taking jack out.
My freaking splitter or something like that again.
Well, that's the thing too, and even the compatibility between your Mac and your iPhone. I don't think I could ever, like, Jack, not
that's the thing, like, Bose can't compete, right? Like,
yeah,
nothing. Like, if I open my AirPods case, there's a fancy little animation that happens in like the iOS software. Like, Bose can't fucking do that. Like, no, like, that's where you get into like kind of like the antitrust issues that are kind of coming up with big tech, and they have such a big hold, and like they're locking you in. But at the same time, it's like, fuck, like, I'm okay with it. Like, it makes my life easier. Like, I have less choices I have to make. Like, I know what I want. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it's very true. And like, Jack, for example, when I go to text you, if you're on your computer, you can't get my text messages. And that's just a thing that I can do on my computer, that if I had to stop doing that, that'd be tough for me. I'd admit it. Like, just being able to text something onto my computer and I can easily pull it up. I know, obviously, there's other ways to get around that, but that pure factor of the compatibility is one of the strongest assets of Apple right now. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that, Ben.
No, you're completely right. I mean, like, I think iMessage itself is just, like, the biggest lock-in. Like, if one of my buddies gets a, like, Google Pixel and breaks up our fucking group chat by, like, becoming clean, like, and we got to switch to, like, what, like, Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or something? Yeah, it's just, like, I don't know, it just works. Like, it's as dumb as it sounds, like, yeah, it just works. And like, I get the antitrust and like the issues with that, but at the same time, like, I don't want to have to explain to my grandma like how to send a photo. Like, it kind of makes sense for her right now. Like, it's not dumb enough for a monkey, but like, it is. And like, that's kind of like always the Apple way. Like, it's for like everyone, not for like the tech aficionado.
I know, there's nothing worse than what, like, they've done such a good job. Like, I text Thomas, it's a nice sleek blue, love, easy on the eyes. Someone without one, it gets this big green monstrous text that you just hate.
Sends a little slower.
Oh, you can't see the bubbles. You gotta have the bubbles.
Yeah, the bubbles.
I love the TikToks too, where it's like, I'd never date someone with an Android. I'm like, holy shit. It's become
like, that's a little extreme, but
yeah.
But it's not out of the realm anymore.
All right, Ben, I think that's probably everything I have to talk about Apple. I'll throw it off to Jay. Any other further questions to ask from the Apple expert, the Tom Brady expert? Anything else you want to put on the table here?
Well, I can think of, kind of think we've touched on Thomas Jefferson, Edward Munch, Brady, and Apple.
The two keys to my life. Check my Twitter bio.
All right, Benny, you got any final stories you want to tell, or you want to close her off there?
I'm good to close her off. I think I've gotten my life story across, but thank you for having me again, boys. Like I said, long time listener, first time guest, so happy to hop on and spout my propaganda for Tom Brady and Apple.
I mean, Ben, we're always looking for insiders on this podcast, and as a loyal listener, have you said, longtime listener, you know, Glenn McFarlane, he's our NBA insider. We're always looking for an NFL insider, and Jack, am I wrong in inviting Ben on to be our NFL insider in the future? Would you agree to that?
I mean, it's not gonna be me or you, so
we gotta find somebody. If anyone knows, digging at the barrel here.
We don't really know. It's not gonna be me. So,
I mean, you went with Tom Brady for MVP in the Super Bowl. Odds are, it's probably him or Mahomes. So you're probably more right than Tom or me.
And that being said, when he retires, Ben's going to be more neutral than ever. So I think he's the perfect guy to get on here for our NFL news. That being said, Ben, thanks for hopping on. Appreciate you listening. We've talked about everything from football. We talked about your time in New York. And then we dove into some brand logos and your love for the brand of Apple. Thanks again for hopping on. Thank you so much. To everyone for listening. Take it easy. Peace.